Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Bridge the Atlantic. We are your hosts, Ross Barber
and Marcia Novelli.
And today on the show, we have singer-songwriter Tam with us. Hey, Tam, how's it going?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
Very awesome. Good. Now, obviously, I know you, Tam, but for everyone who doesn't know you, I think I do, can you tell us three things about yourself that everyone should know?
Yes, I can. I am an Australian citizen and I was born in Australia and I now live in New York City and I've been here for about three and a half years. And I record songs in my apartment. And so my first EP that's going to be coming out is called The Apartment Sessions. And yeah, there we go. Three things.
How'd you come up with that title?
I'm being an idiot. I was like, it just came.
So obviously you live in New York now.
Mm-hmm.
From Brisbane, right?
Yeah, I grew up on the Sunshine Coast. I went to school on the Gold Coast, and then I moved to Brisbane, and I was there for 5 years. And then I lived in London. I did like a little 6 month stint in London. And then I came to New York in June 2011, which is a long time ago now.
Yeah, it's quite a while ago. So out of the three, where do you prefer? Or is that a tough question?
That's a tough question. I have bouts of like missing Australia so much. And, you know, New York is such a great city to do stuff in. Like this is the kind of city where you could say to someone, oh, I want to do this. And they're like, yeah, that's great. Do it. Yeah. And everyone gets behind it. You know, in Australia, it's a little different. I don't think I could have gotten this apartment sessions thing up and running in Australia as well as what I could have done here. So to promote the EP, I'm playing in people's apartments and so I've got one tomorrow in Astoria in Queens, and I play sort of all over New York City in people's apartments. And I don't think, you know, that's something that the people here are like, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Playing in people's apartments. Wow. You know, they get right into it. Like they get really excited about it, but
it
I don't
like
think that's
too.
Something that I could I did accent training.
Wow, man!
We're gonna have to hear some more of those.
I have a few. I'm really trying to perfect my New York accent. Actually, my friend told me this really funny story the other day. She was on the subway, and there were these two like big construction dudes, because there's a lot of construction happening downtown. And these two dudes, and they were talking about a book. And one guy was saying, yeah, you know, I bought this book for my kid. You know, it's like the weather book with food in it. I don't know what it's called. Like the weather with pizza and meatballs. And the other guy's like, and the other guy's like, what, you mean like cloudy with a chance of meatballs? Is that the book you're talking about? And it was this, they were so loud and it was so...
And so Italian. So Italian-American, we can be honest here.
Yeah, it was so funny. So there's quite a few funny accents flying around. I also went in the first like couple of months of moving here, I did a little bit of work as a session vocalist, and I ended up in a studio all the way out in Long Island. And the guy...
It sounds like when you're on like a talk show and you're like, in Long Island, and cues like the, you know, the, oh, Long Island, oh.
Long Island!
Long Island, tell us about it!
But the accents are just so different. It's not even an hour away where we drove to, and the accents are just so different to the rest of the city. So I was singing this song, and the the guy buzzes through on the other side of the glass, and he's like, "Oh, you know, can you sing a little softer?" And I said, "What? Sorry, I don't know.
Softer.
Sing what?" And he's like, "I want you to sing a little softer. I want you to sing softer." And I'm like, "I don't know what you're saying. What? Softer. I need you to sing a little softer." And I was like, "Oh, softer. Like,
you should have just said so.
I got it. All right. Okay. All right." So yeah, the accents here are, they're still amusing. I've been here for 3.5 years and it's still incredibly amusing.
Yeah, I love accents. I'm completely fascinated by accents. I find myself, if anyone sounds any different than me, I find myself just like watching them and listening to how they speak, not really listening to what they're saying. Like right now, I'm not really listening to what you're saying. I'm just admiring your accent. Just kidding. Oh, I love it. I really do.
I'll just try.
It's the only reason I'm friends with Ross whatsoever. What's that?
But do you find when you listen to people with accents that sometimes you might start talking like them?
Yeah,
like
you're around them enough. You pick up like, some terminology and some way of saying things.
Yeah.
Well, Marcio tries to do a Scottish accent, but it's not too great.
It's perfect. It's exactly how they sound. But I can only say the word Scottish. Scottish! That's all I can say.
You need some Groundskeeper Willie quotes in there.
Yeah.
He has some great lines.
Yeah. Yeah, this is true. I'm a huge fan of The Simpsons. So.
Yeah.
So you used to be a vocal coach and are you still a vocal coach?
I am, yes.
You are, but you used to work with children.
Yes, I used to. I still do work with some children.
So this might be controversial.
Just not 120 of them a week. I was teaching quite a lot. I had a really full schedule.
Oh, that's all.
just a ton of kids. But I sort of scaled that back a bit to, you know, do some better work or do different work and not be surrounded by children 24 hours a day.
Right.
It wasn't 24 hours a day. But,
I don't think so. Unless you know. We're sleeping with one kid, which then we have to get into a whole lot of questioning. And that becomes a whole other show.
Yeah, that becomes an issue for the authorities and not us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's move away from that.
I am so uncomfortable right now.
Yeah, me too.
Change of topic.
Wow. Wow, this is great.
What did you guys have for breakfast today?
I've not even eaten today. Oh no, I had toast. That's a lie. I've had toast. I'm having dinner in like 10 minutes.
That my wife made me before she left for school because she's
awesome.
What
did she make you?
Homemade oatmeal. She made it for my son and I.
Oh,
so good. With a real banana chopped up in it and Oh
man, how good is food?
Food is good.
Food is awesome.
I think we should just talk about food.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Done. So speaking of food, I'm actually thinking about, because the thing in New York is like, food is like such a hot thing, you know, like Cronuts came out in New York about 6 months ago and people would line up at 5 a.m. at the bakery to try these Cronuts. They're like croissant donuts. I never tried one, but apparently they're fantastic. And like homemade crafted ice cream is a thing here now. And cupcakes are obviously like they've been around now for a couple of years, but they're food trends in New York. And I'm going to jump on the food trend and I'm going to start making scones. Boom.
Boom.
There it is.
You mm-hmm. should.
Yeah.
Scones are awesome. And I think scones are Scottish, actually. I think they originated from Scotland.
I did, actually. Scottish. I was trying to do my research so I could talk more about scones than anyone. But, Ross, you just topped me. So.
Well, you didn't do much research then.
So much.
That's the name of this show. Talking scones for like it's, 10 seconds with Tim.
I would have bought scones.
You could write,
oh, should have brought
could write,
them.
You could write like a one-page book on scones.
I'll do
the forward and I don't take up half the page.
If you print out the wiki page, it's probably 2 pages. So yeah. I think we can't skint on that. I reckon we could go 2. I have a lot to say about scones.
So speaking of scones, will you be baking any of them and handing them out when you start playing some more house shows and rooftops in support of the Apartment Sessions EP?
Probably not, but By the way,
that was called a segue.
That's a great segue.
Thank you.
You did really,
did
really
you see
good.
What I did there?
You're so talented,
wow.
man.
Oh wow!
Well, your name should be Talent, you know. Not Sexy.
Oh, I don't know how to feel about that. That was the best backhanded comment I think I've ever gotten.
You're welcome. No, I was actually talking with a couple of my friends in the music industry about what they do for merch, because it seems to be, you know, unless you're a heavy metal band, you can't really do hoodies and t-shirts and, you know, the usual, like, beer, what do you call those things? The beer
mugs,
the like stubbies and things like that. You know, that's an Australian word. I don't know. Do you guys know that word?
Which word?
Stubbies.
Stubbies?
Yeah, they're like, it's a stubby cooler. So your beer is a stubby, yeah, and
Canada.
I don't know if they call them in America, or what do they call them in Canada?
Well, in Canada, stubby. I'm sorry, but
oh, we're gonna go somewhere with
it's,
this.
It's synonymous with something completely different. I will allow our viewers and listeners to Google or search that online and come to their own conclusions.
I'm guessing at their own risk. It sounds like it's risk. Not. Yeah, so not maybe recommend. Not work.
We do not recommend, but.
Oh, well, what would you call them? Like beer cozies or something?
Yeah, beer cozies. And,
something like, yeah, something like that, I guess.
So, unless you're a metal band or like, you know, like a dude band, I'm trying to think of like creative ways to go with merch options for
so what are some
of
the ideas?
Well, I'm looking at what a couple of people are doing, and they're doing like jewelry, or they're making things, or they're making like paper with their lyrics on it and things like that. Like there's a lot of, yeah, I'm still researching it.
I think you can get away with hoodies. I think you could do like t-shirts and hoodies. Like I'm not a metal, I love metal and I love all different types of music, but I mean, I'm a singer-songwriter and I do hoodies and stuff and it works and shirts.
Yeah.
You can get away with that. You can probably even get away with undies and stuff like that. I know it sounds funny, but people have asked for that before.
One says undies in the States. I love that word.
Undies, panties. Panties sounds a little naughtier. Panties.
It does sound a little bit,
actually,
yeah.
Could you say panties, Ross, for me, please?
No,
just do it with your accent of me wonder. Can you do it?
Panties.
Yeah. You held back. You held back. Tam, let's hear you say it.
Panties.
Okay, so that's going to be our advertisement for this episode. We're all just going to say panties, 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 and be like, make sure you check out the interview. You know, it's sex sells. That's it.
Yeah,
that's really cool. No, obviously, I don't think you can get away with beer cozies, though.
But saying that, you do mention beer in One Day I'll Come Home, so you could maybe get away with it.
I could. Maybe I could put... Because in the song, I'm having a beer with my dad. So maybe I could put like a picture of my dad's face or something.
That's cool.
Maybe.
Or One Day I Come Home on the Cozy. One Day I'll Come Home with the picture of your dad's face. I know you're joking, but actually things like that are kind of cool. Things
well,
in the
I was
box,
thinking
right?
I could do like a travel journal. Like I could design like some stationery and do a travel journal with like One Day I'll Come Home, and then sort of design like a really cool little cute pages and things, and sell like a diary or a travel journal or something.
Yeah, why not?
I think a lot of the people that I meet at shows and stuff in New York, they're not from New York. Like they're not New Yorkers. They're from all over the place. Everybody that I meet here is from somewhere else, and everybody that I meet has traveled. It's such a melting pot here. Everyone is just from
like
somewhere.
Los Angeles. That's like Toronto. A lot of the major.
Yeah,
cities.
Like all the kind of big cities, like London. Yeah. Like if you go to London, you'll probably not meet many people that are from London.
Yeah.
Like that's what I find whenever I've been down there. It's like everyone you come across is from somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to find someone that's like born and raised there.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange, but I like it. It makes it interesting.
So you just released a new video for One Day I'll Come Home. And that was a collaborative effort with Greg Daniels.
Yeah.
For Australian Community Creative Challenge for Australians in New York. Wow. That's
yes.
Cool.
That is a mouthful.
A long title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which kind of sucks with the 140 character limit in Twitter. So you've got
true.
To kind of condense it down.
Yeah, Bridge the Atlantic was one character too long for Twitter. That's why we're Bridge _ Atlantic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was clever. I thought that was really clever.
Yeah, it's like a bridge, the _.
Yeah.
We totally
exactly.
meant that, Ross. So that was.
That's exactly. That was the plan. That was the plan all along.
It was, yeah.
That's what I thought. Nice.
It is. You got it. You're the only one
fantastic.
Who got it.
Yes.
No, I saw the video. I really like it. And it's really interesting. I find how you not only obviously made a piece of art that's a music video, but it also doubles as kind of like an advertisement, I guess, for the fact that you're doing these rooftop and house shows, which Ross and I were talking before this interview, we were talking about how I think that's great. It's honest. It's not like you're, you know, trying to manipulate anyone. You're just kind of putting two in one.
Yeah.
That's what I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it was funny because we were looking for places to film, and you know, obviously this was just one day of shooting the whole video, and we sort of had like a schedule in place of places that we wanted to sort of get in New York, and then it was okay, well, we've got it, we need to shoot on a rooftop, and we were going to shoot on my rooftop, and it was just supposed to be like the rooftop didn't actually have anything on it. It was just black and it wasn't set up. And then a couple of days before the shoot, my landlord's, I bumped into him and he was like, oh, you know, you should check out the roof. We've just done, we've got some construction going on up there. And I was like, oh no, we're not going to be able to do the shoot. I've told all these people to come to this gig and, you know, and then we went up there on the day and it had been decked. It had like all the walls were up. It looked incredible. I was so happy with how the rooftop looked because but underneath it is just black, like gravel, sort of nothing too exciting. And it was all decked out with wood. It looked really nice. We had fairy lights and blankets and fabulous looking people. And it was really lovely. I was really happy with it.
What are fairy lights?
You don't know what fairy lights are. No. Like Christmas like fairy lights.
Oh, I mean Christmas lights.
We call them fairy lights.
I mean fairy lights.
Okay.
What are they called? Is that what you call them?
Christmas lights.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's not as fun. I prefer fairy lights. I'm going to start calling it that.
I've always known them as fairy lights. Oh, languaging.
No. It's weird because like we're all our countries are similar in so many ways, but then there's so many ways that like we're just so different. But I think Australia is probably the most drastically different in terms of the kind of things that you guys say. Mm-hmm. That you've got so many words for things that are just, you say them to someone that's not from Australia and we have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, that happened actually. We were talking about that the other week. A friend of mine said, she put a whole sentence of Australian words together and said it to an American, and the American was just, oh, I don't really know what you're saying. And she said something like, I'm going to chuck on my boardies and my thongs and go out for a dip in the surf, the Savvy. And it was like, we don't, I mean, I understood it. I was like, yeah, cool. Sounds good.
You can be our Australian translator next time.
I could. There are a lot of words that we just make stuff up. We make stuff up. Like, and we blur out words together. So there's a song where these guys say, what's scarnon? And they spell it S-C-A-R-N-O-N, scarnon. And that's what's going on. And so my brother and I will text each other and it'll be like, scan on? Question mark.
So you guys are the country that's destroying the English language. I'm just kidding.
Absolutely.
Hey, at least we all have the metric system in common here. Ross and I were just discussing this, how America, I love Americans. I love people everywhere.
God bless America.
Americans are, I think, one of only two countries in the entire world that have not switched to the metric system yet. We're all here, guys. Meet us here.
It's a great place.
Metric system makes things so much easier. 0 to 100 makes so much sense. 0 is freezing. 100 degrees Celsius is boiling point. So simple.
I know. The looks I get when I say, oh, yeah, it was such a hot day, like 36 degrees. And they're like, oh.
It must be freezing in Canada.
Yeah. yeah, they're so confused.
It makes so much sense. Millimeters, centimeters, meters, kilometer. It just all adds up. It's denominations of 10 and 100 and 1,000. Oh, it just makes so much sense.
I know. It so really simple. Does. Yeah. Maybe this whole podcast should be dedicated to pledging to America to change
the metric system.
Yes.
We're getting so many ideas on this show.
I know. Right. This show is so self-aware. It's about the show. You know, Bridgie and I think the show about the show. It's kind of like Seinfeld, the show about nothing. This is a show about the show. So.
Yes, I'm feeling that.
So you've been playing a lot of unusual venues then. You've been doing some really different kind of things. Has there been any strange occurrence or anything unusual that sticks out in your mind?
Mm, Not really. I mean, I've only been doing this for maybe 2 months. I played an apartment on the Upper West Side. I played in a backyard in Brooklyn a couple of weeks ago. I mean, I'm playing in front of different people, which is really nice. And I guess I just really enjoy like the intimacy of playing in someone's house as opposed to, you know, being at a bar where you sort of, you know, like the next band, like the places that you usually play, you know, you do your 45 minute set, you've got 15 minutes to sort it out. And then the next band is on,
yeah.
You know, so you don't really have time to like talk to people or get to know people or, you know, hear about where they're from. And I really like the idea of going to someone's house and playing because you can do all that in, you know, in a gig and it's just way more intimate, you know. And you can talk to people and it's less pressure for me as well, I find. I get so nervous when I have to play like bars and things like that. And my last gig, I was so nervous. I had to take my shoes off because my feet were sweating. I could feel my feet like squishing around in my shoes. And I was like, and I just finished
foot
the first
sweat,
song.
You know.
Yeah. And I just finished the first song and I was like, okay guys, I'm really nervous. I'm going to take my shoes off. All right. It was pretty funny. So yeah, there's nothing. I mean, I find that the shows in people's houses are just more intimate and I don't know, I guess people feel more inclined to ask you questions and to talk to you. Whereas at a bar, it's, you know, people won't like, they'll say, oh, hey, or I liked your set, but they don't sort of sit down and want to chat. Whereas like I think being in a home or in someone's place brings that together a bit more. Yeah.
I was pitched the idea to do like house shows. I think it was about a year or maybe even longer ago. Probably about a year ago, and you're not the first guest we've had on the show that is doing house shows and speaks amazingly high of it. So you're kind of pushing me to give it a shot. I think
you should. I'm actually playing one in Toronto. Toronto. You're not supposed to pronounce the last T, isn't that
right? I say
it
Toronto. It depends on how properly you speak. I say Toronto. Some people say Toronto. Toronto. It's almost like a no N at the end. Toronto. Really, we do a lot of us, like, we're talking about languages again. we do kind of, like, lazy talk. Not as proper as, like, the British, but, you know, kind of, they would say Toronto.
Yeah, well,
that's not the British accent. That was terrible. But Toronto. I wonder how many people we can offend on this show by doing such terrible accents.
We've covered a lot.
Toronto. I'm going to Toronto. Toronto. So what sort of advice would you give to aspiring musicians who are just starting out? And like you said, you felt like being in New York pushed you to actually, you know, do what you're doing because of the support and the kind of attitude that's around. What sort of advice would you give to aspiring musicians?
I guess it just comes down to doing it and not talking about it, or not even not talking about it, but just do it. Like, just don't talk, just get it done. You know, like so many people talk up these ideas and then you bump into them and you're like, oh, how did that go? And they're like, oh no, I'm kind of business minded in a lot of ways. And I like to plan things and I like to list things. And so for me, like what's really helped me, you know, turn this into something that could long-term be a career is just, you know, reading about, like there's so much material out there to read that's free. I've just finished reading the $150,000 music degree book.
Wade Sutton and Rick Barker?
Yeah.
I know Wade. Wade's a good guy.
The information that they have is so fantastic. You just need to do what they say and you can have a career. And obviously, like, you know, you need to really want to do it. Like, there's no point in sort of trying to do something if your heart's not in it. I think it's, you know, it's about the doing.
Absolutely. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, there's so many like facets to it, you know, like people are like, oh, you've got to be on top of your social media and make sure that your recordings are really up to scratch and make sure this. But it's like, you just need to do it every day and work out a system that gets you writing every day and, you know, exploring what you need to explore as an artist every day so that you're not, you know, so that you're up to date with it and that you can, keep producing stuff.
You know what, it's different for every artist too, I think. Like for me, for example, writing every day doesn't work. You know, for some people that really works. For me, it's only when I'm inspired. You know what I mean? And that works for me. So it's like, I think it's also finding out what works for you.
Yeah. And even if it isn't writing every day, like just doing something that like benefits your career, it doesn't necessarily have to be like writing every day to get good at your craft or whatever, but just doing something that, you know, that can propel you forward and not letting yourself be, you know, a victim of circumstance or whatever. Oh, I haven't done this because of this. Like, just get out and do it, you know, go out and find, like, if it's money, go out and find it. If it's time, go out and find it. You know, I don't know, I guess it's like that no excuses BS, you know?
No, it's not BS, it's true. Don't have excuses.
Yeah, like just do it, you know, and be good to people along the way, you know, create good relationships with people. I think that's also something that's really important is just, you know, nurturing the relationships you have and being good to people.
Well, have you ever heard of the triad that I'm not sure who made this up, but it's made up of talent, money, and time. And if you're lacking in any of those, the other ones have to make up. So if you're lacking a talent and money, you have to spend a lot more time. You know, because most artists don't have money to come from. You know, you can't use that excuse.
But you can't. Like, if you can't get booked for a show, do your own shows. Like, go play in people's apartments. Or, you know, there's no excuse for not having the resources that you need. The internet makes the world so much smaller, you know, and everything is so much more accessible than even 10 years ago when I, you know, when I started, I did my degree in popular music. And when I started, like, there was no Twitter, there was no, you know, like, we were just getting over MySpace and the internet. And I don't even think there was a MySpace when I started. But, you know,
there's a Twitter now, though.
Twitter.
Twitter now exists.
Twitter.
Twitter. Twitter. That's what we say.
Twitter.
E-R is er. It's not T-W-I-T-T-A.
That's the thing that I struggle with the most in living in America. And I spend a lot of time on the phone from my day job, and I talk to people all the time, and they don't understand me. I talk way too fast.
No, I love it. I tease.
I've had to curve my accent a bit, and I was talking to my sister the other day, and I said, well, what you've got to do, like, with your things, and she's like, your thing.
I say your.
I'm like, with you. And then I was like, okay, so what you do with your things, and then I've got to, like, change my accent completely to sound way more Australian so that my sister won't sledge me about my, about the little inflections that I pick up in America. God bless America.
So are you ready for 20 questions?
Oh, sure. I mean, no, not really.
No,
but okay.
No one's
everyone's
ever
always like uncomfortable. Like, okay.
What kind of questions? Like, are these like?
Well, you'll just have to see, Tam.
Game of Jeopardy, or should I have read books?
You should probably have done research and brushed up on your physics. Particularly, you should have read some Albert Einstein, because we're going to be asking some stuff about quantum mechanics and quantum physics. I'm just kidding.
Well,
ready to go, Russ?
Awkward.
Are you ready?
There is one very important question that comes up, so you have to be very careful how you answer it. I'm not going to say anymore. You'll know it when it comes.
Ready, set, go.
Okay.
Coffee or tea?
Oh, coffee, all the way. Ooh.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
CD or vinyl?
Oh, digital. No, okay, vinyl.
You're such a rebel.
Summer or winter?
Winter.
Friends or Frasier?
Friends or what?
Frasier.
Oh, Friends.
I can't understand your accent. I'm just kidding. I'm just dying. Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter, all the way.
Twitter. Melody or rhythm?
Rhythm.
Neighbors or Home and Away?
Home and Away.
Indie or major?
Indie.
Rain or shine?
Rain and shine. Can we do both? I like both. I like when they're mixed together. It's kind of pretty.
You can't change the laws of the weather.
Like, no, but when it's
sunny,
like,
and winter, snow.
Sun showers. I think they're pretty.
Okay. Yeah, I agree, actually.
London or New York?
New York.
Yoga or yogurt?
Yoga.
Did you see how much he pronounced that? So you
well, I wanted to make sure that she knew what I was saying. Twerk or work?
Twerk.
Bagels or waffles?
Bagels, all the way.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Michael Jackson, 100%.
Sorry, Ross. Koalas or kangaroos?
Kangaroos, because my parents had a pet one.
Oh my God.
Really?
So, we'll talk about that later. Stereotypically Australian. Yes. I love it.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais or Ricky Martin?
Ricky Martin, because I think he's dating Ian Thorpe.
Oh, cool. I don't know.
He's an Australian swimmer. Oh. And he spent most of his career being, well, not, you know, not being out. And apparently he's come out and apparently he's dating Ricky Martin.
So that's he's just in his house a lot, you mean? Like he uses his
phone? Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean by like out? I don't understand.
You don't know what I mean?
Is that like an Australian?
He does know what you mean.
I can't tell because this is an international conversation.
Yeah, I know what it means.
Okay.
Whale or kale?
Oh, whale. Kale's so gross.
You're breaking my vegan heart right now. You're from New York. You have to know like half of them are vegan.
Yeah.
Actually, that's more LA. Oh, wow. I just generalized two cities. Oh, my God.
Oh, everyone hates us now.
Can we piss anyone else off?
It's over.
Let's talk about the Middle East. Okay, so Bette Midler or the Riddler?
The Riddler.
And finally, this is an important question.
Oh, dear.
This is what Ross was referring to. It's a very important question. Think. Actually, you know what? Don't think about it. It's your initial response. That's the right one. Ross or Marcio?
Ross.
Yes. Oh, finally. Wow. Someone said me.
Wow. She knew. Just that was she didn't even think about it. It was.
I didn't
it wasn't
have to,
like,
man.
It wasn't even like, I love Ross. It was, oh my God, I hate Marcio so much. Obviously, yes, it's Ross. Yeah. That's how I took it. But you know what? I'm okay with that, Tam. I'm okay.
We just met. We still have to work on this
exactly.
relationship.
Once I meet you in Toronto... You know, it'll all be good. We'll be best friends. We'll just shit talk Ross the whole time.
Well, it's fine because when I meet Tam, not Pam. Sorry.
When you meet someone else, completely unrelated, Pam, they'll be best friends.
No, I get Pam all the time. When I call people, like in America, they just think I'm Pam.
Yeah, that's okay, Ross. You don't need to learn our guests' names or anything. I mean, that's fine. So, Deborah, could you tell us any music you've been listening to lately?
Me? Oh, yes. Yes. And my name is Rebecca.
I'm sorry, Becca. I always miss you.
I've been listening to Noah Gunderson. He's fantastic. He's touring at the moment. He's American. I've been listening to George Barnett. He's English. I think he's English. He's from the UK. I'll just generalize a bit there. And I really love Keaton Henson. And I think he's also from London. And his music is just beautiful. I listen to a lot more boy singer-songwriters than girl singer-songwriters.
You're sexist. You are. You're a female sexist. That's absolutely opposite sexist. You love men but hate women.
Yeah.
This is
I don't know. I do like a lot of female. I mean, I really like Ingrid Michaelson. I think she's lovely. And I'd love to write with her. I think her songs are really cool. But I don't know. For some reason, I've just been digging the dudes. Like Keaton Henson's music is just so lovely. And Noah Gunderson is a great storyteller.
Headline of the show, Digging Dudes with Tam Hansen.
It's Rebecca, so I sort that out.
I'm sorry, Deborah.
No, it's Deborah. It's Deborah. How many names?
Oh, Pam.
Pam, yeah. Cam.
Debbie digs dudes.
Who does her research? Someone really needs to, you know, someone getting fired.
So, yeah, I wonder who that would be. Can we fire ourselves? Is that a thing? Just the next episode is not even us. It's completely somebody, like two completely
different. We'll do puppets or something.
We should, actually.
Hand puppets. Boom.
So, Tam, where can people find you online?
You can find me at my fantastically designed website by Ross. It's www.allthingstam.com. And Yeah, there's all the news Twitter, and information. And, oh, I'm on Twitter. Twitter's the same. It's All Things Tam. And so's the Instagram, All Things Tam. And I think facebook.com/AllThingsTam.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's where it's All Things Tam.
All Things Deborah. My name is Ralph, not Ross.
Ralph. Okay, good. All right. Thanks, Ralph. Thanks.
You're welcome, Pam. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.